Maybe there's time for a couple of questions.
So if you're saying I'm a Christian, you are buying your comments, then you have to start all over?
Yeah, but if the Buddha wakes you up from your meditative equipoise and emptiness, if you're an arhat, then you start the Mahayana path all over. You've already realized emptiness, so you kind of, in that aspect, have a head start on the Mahayana path from somebody who's starting it just from the beginning. But, you know, you still have to do all the method aspect of the path, all those practices, to accumulate the great positive potential that enables you to become a Buddha.
How can you ensure while following the Mahayana path that you're not going to fall back into the lower realm?
Okay. So how can you ensure when you're following the Mahayana that you're not going to fall into the lower realms? Or in, you mean because it's taking you longer to realize emptiness? Okay. You can't exactly assure that. Okay? But, you know, in the sense that the realization of emptiness, the direct perception of emptiness, is what gives you the ultimate protection of not falling into the lower realms. Okay? So the bodhisattvas who start anew, you know, on the Mahayana path, before they have this direct realization of emptiness, they spend one countless great eon just on the path of accumulation and the path of preparation, you know, really enriching their mind with all this goodness from the bodhisattva practice before they realize emptiness directly on the path of seeing. Okay? So during that time, you could say, well, there's a chance of slipping into the lower realms. You know, but then if you look at somebody who's on the path of accumulation, path of preparation, they have so much great compassion. Their lives are completely dedicated to creating virtuous actions. They're keeping their mind in a positive state as much as they can. So that doesn't give much opportunity, although they still have the potential to create negative karma that would lead to the lower realms. There really isn't that much chance to, because their mind is imbued with bodhicitta. And while their minds still have the potential to create the cooperative conditions for a previously created negative karma to ripen that would throw them to the lower realms, similarly, because of great compassion and bodhicitta, you know, their mind, it could get really negative and create that cooperative condition, but it's much harder to than, let's say, for our mind. Yeah. Because our mind, like this, you know, we can get angry. Okay. But the thing, the idea behind the bodhisattva path is a willingness to, you know, put off one's own enlightenment for the benefit of others. Okay? So even though, actually, in terms of full enlightenment, the bodhisattva is going to get fully enlightened quicker than somebody who becomes an arhat and then does the bodhisattva path from the beginning. Okay? Still, they might take more time. Some of them might take more time to realize emptiness. But because of their strong compassion, they see that at the end of the day, it's much better if they aim for full enlightenment from the beginning. Also, some of these bodhisattvas may, you know, they still may have a certain realization of emptiness. They definitely have a certain realization of emptiness before the path is seen. So even though it's not direct, you know, they're still really beginning to chip away at the ignorance. So even though they can't eliminate the ignorance completely on those first two paths of accumulation and preparation, still they're really cultivating their wisdom, realizing the emptiness quite strongly, and that helps the mind a lot. Yeah?
You talked about two types of obscurations, cognitive and afflictive, and afflictive obscurations, which is ignorance, anger, and attachment.
And karma.
And karma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are the cognitive obscurations? When they give an analogy, and that is that the afflictive obscurations are like a pot in which you cook onions. Okay? Or we'll put it this way, the pot with the onions in it. Okay? So you cooked, the pot has the onions, it smells like onions, there are onions, there's no way around it. The onions are there and they're predominant. Okay? So the onions are like the ignorance, anger, attachment, and the karma that causes rebirth. Yeah? It's there, it stinks. Okay? Unless you like them. When you take the onions out of the pot, the onions aren't there, but the smell is still there. Right? Okay, so you still have some cleaning to do. So the smell, is what is analogous to the cognitive obscurations. So we've had the ignorance, anger, and attachment in the mind. We've removed those, but still there's like a smell or a trace. They call it an imprint or predisposition. Okay, the Tibetan word is vata. And it's an imprint or predisposition of the afflictions. So you no longer have the afflictions manifest in your mind because they've been completely eliminated. They can no longer come back. There's no cause for them to come back. But there's still a little bit of dirt there from having had them there so long. Okay? So what that is it's the appearance of true existence, the appearance of inherent existence. So even though you have the direct realization of emptiness and you've eliminated the grasping at true existence, okay, the mind no longer grasps at things as truly existent. However, because of the cognitive obscurations, phenomena still appear to be truly existent. Okay? So somebody at this level who is either an arhat or what we call a pure level bodhisattva, they've eliminated the afflictive obscurations, but still there's the appearance of true existence. Okay? And that's caused by these imprints, of true existence, imprints of the ignorance grasping through existence. So these things need to be eliminated, and when they are, then the mind is like completely clear, and one is a Buddha, and therefore one has all these extraordinary powers that a Buddha has, that even the 10th level Bodhisattva right before attaining Buddhahood doesn't have all those powers. Okay? Because the mind's completely, completely purified. I find studying this kind of stuff quite inspiring. Yeah? Of course you could study it and get so depressed. Oh, I'm so far from enlightenment. But you could study it and go, wow, what incredible potential we have. Look what we can become. You know? The purpose of my life is not just becoming, having a career, blah, blah, blah. Look at this incredible potential that we have as human beings. So just understanding our potential, I think, can make the mind very joyful and give us a lot of energy that wants to practice. Okay, so let's dedicate.